Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
St. Xavier University is for students who want more out of their future. We pride ourselves on preparing graduates with the skills they need to succeed in life. Visit xxu.edu to start plotting your path to a brighter tomorrow. St. Xavier University, the best in you.
This is the fun part of the job.
Right. Welcome to the Under Center podcast presented by St. Xavier University. Alex isn't here, no E. Tony Gill's running the pod, but our new Bears insider is here, and that's Josh Schrock. Follow him at Schrock underscore and all. Oh, underscore again, all is what there I should go. Say yep. properly. Make sure you read all of his articles on our NBC Sports My Teams app. A pleasure to have him here in Chicago with us. We're going to do a little bit of points bet stuff today. We're going to get a couple other Bears topics, but we're going to do a little bit of gambling for our gambling folks and get Josh's thoughts on where the Bears may land and perhaps put a little coin in your pocket or take a little coin out of your pocket, which probably what PointsBet does and wants to do. All right. It's a function in business. All right, Josh. Well, first of all, Josh, how are you doing? Wait, Josh, how was your weekend?
It was all right, man. How was yours? I was still a little busy, you know, normally always working now. Schedule's out, so exciting time. We talked about earlier on the rush, so it was an exciting first week.
I ended up last night hanging out with Tony Gill with a couple of guys that we kind of used to bang around with back in the days. Had a little bit of good evening, talked about his nuptials coming up. But Josh, wait, are you married?
I am married.
What did you do as far as your bachelor party or whatever?
I didn't have one because we did it during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah, you damn right you didn't have one.
Yeah, we just got married. That was
yeah, especially 15 people. Let's get this over with.
So, exactly, yeah.
Tony, we're trying to talk Tony into doing something fun, traveling for his bachelor party because he's bland as you know what. So that's kind of just for so anybody on here, all right, on any platform that you watch the Under Center, give us ideas on something to do with Tony. Also, something that's PG, all right? And I'm not saying it in a negative sense.
Don't say Vegas. Don't say
Vegas. Yeah, so all right, so let's get to the betting. Points bet, Josh, has the Bears at 6.5. So for instance, for all of you fans on the rush, which I'm sure I'll see this week, who have coming at us with three wins. I have the Bears at one win. And I've said seven. I would give six. Points bet, who makes money gambling, has the Bears at 6.5. Josh, from looking at last year, and their defense had more talent last year.
Yeah.
But I feel that in bringing in Matt Eberflus, and this is again a shout out to anybody who watches the show or listens to it, make sure you check us out on YouTube. Alex Shapiro was one of the first people to mention that Matt Eberflus could get this job. And just looking at the discipline of his defense and the proof of what he has done in Indy, I feel like by the middle of the season, this defense should be playing fairly well. And when I'm fairly well, I'm not saying they'll be at the top of the NFL, but I feel like they should be in the top 15 of the NFL, basically. And with that, I lean towards, I think if they got six wins last year when they were incompetent on offense, I feel like they should be able to get perhaps seven wins this season. So what are your thoughts on the – I don't know if we did win totals on the UC with you or Under Center. Anybody didn't check out, Josh also fortunately joined me on the Under Center last week. But what's your win total and what do you feel about points by having the Bears at 6.5, Josh?
It's a great line. That's why they make the money, right? It's a perfect line. It's kind of a trap line. I think 7-10 feels like the team's ceiling, but it's a doable ceiling because there's a ton of winnable games on the schedule. And I don't think they lost some talent, but it's not like the roster is not so much worse than it was last year. And if they're going to be more competent coaching wise, and the offense looks like it's from 2022 and not 1962.
Right.
You have to imagine they're going to beat the Texans, the Giants, the Falcons, the Lions. I mean, knock off the Jets.
Yeah, you had them at seven because you had them beating the 49ers and I didn't have them beating the 49ers thinking about it.
Right.
So yeah, you're right. You're right. Totally.
Yeah. Knock off a hinge game. You're at 7-10 and you're good to go.
And look, not to say this could, let me put it like this. This could be 5-12. Let me lead with that. We're no one's saying that this is what it will be. No, because if we're going to say pendulum shift just because of parity of NFL, that they could get, look, they could luck into eight wins and people could think this is a lot better than what they truly are.
Yeah.
You know, or they're ahead of schedule further down the line than what they are. But also they could lose one or two close games, kind of like the Pittsburgh and the 49ers game. Speaking of the 49ers, like last year, to where their record is where they're at five wins, but actually, you know, they play better during the season. So I don't think it's incapable of them getting to seven wins. But depending on the urgency and the buy-in for me towards, I would say, the fourth quarter of the season, that's kind of how I feel like I'll feel as far as how far they've come during this year under Matt Eberflus, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think we talk about hinge games. There's a couple of teams on the schedule that we just don't know what they're going to look like the Commanders, the Dolphins. When they see them in week nine, the Dolphins could be 4-5 and be ready to move up to it, or they could be 8-1. So we don't know. Same with the Lions. Everyone loves what the Lions did. They're still the Lions. Everyone loves what the Jets did. They're still the Jets. Are the Vikings going to be so much better because Kevin O'Connell's there? I have no idea. So we don't really, there's a ton of unknowns. So I think 7-10, or like I said, 8-9 is not out. Like, you could fall into a win. Like, maybe they knock off the 49ers in week one, win the winnable games, split with the Lions maybe, and it's 8-9.
The crazy thing, and this is not Bears related, and I love what you said about Miami and Tua. Man, do you just thinking about if they went from 4 wins to 8 wins, how much that could affect his future, his bank account? You can look at it to a degree, even though he got a 5-year contract, but you can look at it at Baker Mayfield as far as at one point I'm thinking I can at least give 120 on this next deal, and now I have to get out here and try to prove myself. But that's one of the things is great and it's unfortunate about sports. Hey, Tua, get your ass out. Roll Tide all day, but Tua, you get your ass out there and prove it. All right, Josh, we're looking at the NFC North winner is having the Bears at third, and that's at a plus 800.
Yep.
I can definitely see the Bears being third because the Vikings are particularly offensively are farther down the line than them. I mean, when you look at this, forget how you feel about Kirk Cousins. He's capable. Let's at least be honest. He's capable. But you're talking about Thielen, Jefferson, and Cook. And I don't even have to go further than that. And hopefully they got guards. Oh, also, maybe they got guards this year because that's been a big problem when it comes to the Vikings, right? Their interior line play has been crappy.
Horrible.
But, I mean, if they have one guard, let alone a decent two, right, I can see the Vikings should be ahead of the Bears because they have a capable quarterback with nice skill positions. And they still have players coming back on their defensive side. But where do you have the Bears falling in line as far as the NFC North? And what do you think about the plus 800, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, don't bet the Bears to win the division. That's absolutely that'd be lunacy. I mean, you can if you want, just to take a stab at it in case Aaron Rodgers gets hurt and the Vikings are bad. But no, I think third is right because I still think the Bears are going to be better than the Lions. And I think the Lions are kind of going to be in the same position as last year where they're going to be fine going 4-13, playing better and then drafting a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Right. They don't want Jared Goff to win them 8 games and then they don't get CJ Stroud and Bryce Young.
Exactly.
Now what do we do?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think whereas the Bears would be pretty happy with 7-10 if Justin Fields progresses and Matt Eberflus shows he's a competent head coach who's really disciplined, they'll be more comfortable winning 7-10, whereas the Lions are just going to be like, let's keep everyone healthy, play really hard, still like Dan Campbell, go 4-13, draft quarterback.
How do you feel about Dan Campbell and the Lions last year? Because I think coming into the year, we thought they had the buy-in. We knew about the getting up, biting kneecaps, but you still didn't get the wins. It was still Matt Patricia-esque when it came to the victories. Do you think they'll be farther down the line victory-wise? And you just said they'll be happy. And look, they should be happy getting the best quarterback in next year's draft, if it's Stroud or even if it's Bryce Young. Yeah. But and it makes more sense into how you're trying to set everything up right now, whatever. But what I guess my opinion is, how do you feel about Dan Campbell as a head coach?
I mean, I like him. They played hard for him. A couple games they lost were, I mean, that's just NFL variants, like Lamar Jackson. You know, they get down to the midfield and Justin Tucker kicks a 60-yard field goal. What are you going to do?
Right.
You just throw your hands up. You're like, okay, well, we had him beat. And the guy whose right leg is going to be in bronze in Canton, he beat us. So what are you going to do? Right. So I think they like Dan Campbell. And this is how you go through a successful rebuild, right? You build up. They drafted well. They drafted an edge rusher. They drafted a wide receiver. They're drafting important positions, filling holes. And then next year, they'll go get the quarterback, right? They didn't reach this year on a quarterback who is not as good, which is really smart. And we talk about the Bears rebuild. If Justin Fields progresses and is good, then the Bears rebuild is ahead of schedule because that's the most important position.
Totally, totally. Yeah. All right, last one when it comes to the betting. PointsBet has the Bears making the playoffs at plus 310 and minus 400. I probably don't even need to know what you think, Josh. Yeah. I mean, go ahead. You're right. Man,
I'm going to say no with the caveat that every year in the NFL, there are two teams that didn't make the playoffs last year that just – all of a sudden make the playoffs. So, you know, like we said, maybe like, do the Bears get off to like a really weird Panthers-esque 3-1 start like last year, and then they got some winnable games and you're like, oh, it's weird, this team is 7-3. It's not impossible, but it's certainly not likely. So I mean, I wouldn't bet it, but hey, if you like to have a little fun, I mean, don't bet your mortgage on it, but you know, sprinkle it. We don't endorse losing your house over the Bears making the playoffs this year.
No, not this upcoming season whatsoever. And also, let me look at this and let me expound into this with the question for you. Mm-hmm. So the Bears in Matt Nagy's first season, of course, we all know, went 12-4. Yep. And I don't know Matt Eberflus as a head coach. I can talk about what I feel like could happen, but the proof, we have to really wait. So even when you – and Ryan Poles as a general manager for the long haul, would there be a fear that perhaps being ahead of schedule could be a hindrance for this team? Or is the thought is these are much more capable people that you have at head coach and a general manager, and it wouldn't matter if they were ahead of schedule this season?
I think it probably depends how it happens, right? If it's a fluky 10-7 and they win like a bunch of weird games and they're not actually that good, that's not what you want. You'd rather go 6-11 and draft Jaxon Smith-Njigba or Will Anderson and get another blue chip prospect than go weirdly 10-7 and get your doors blown off in the wild card weekend. They're like, oh, well, what are we? Right. So it just depends. It depends how it happens. Like if they're overly competent and much better than we actually expect, then it's a good thing to be ahead of schedule. But if, like I said, like if Carson Wentz throws two pick sixes and the 49ers are bad in week one and then they win 10 games miraculously, that's not what you want.
I love that. That's a great answer right there, bro, to be honest with you. You're right. You're totally on point with that one. That's exactly what we wouldn't want. The crazy part is, even if it was if it happened, you would hope most people would acknowledge that it was fluky. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Rather than be like, man, we're the Super Bowl. We can win the Super Bowl. It's like, you know, this is some fluky mess over here, right? You're totally on point. All right, one of the things. So, for instance, in still interior line, to some degree. Well, you know what? I haven't even asked you, what are your thoughts on Justin Jones? So Alex Brown, former Bear, was on here with me throughout the draft, right?
Yeah.
And he was kind of like, meh, when it came to Justin Jones. And my only problem with Justin Jones, Josh, is this. If I could be Jeff Joniak, right, and just sit there and think about the Bears playing and hear him be like, Ogunjobi for the sack. Right. Like, Ogunjobi, it sounds different from Jones with the sack. It just doesn't hit the same way. That's my only problem. But compared to, and again, you were covering the 49ers and the Raiders leaving. Mm-hmm. All right. Also, can I ask you something? Are the A's going to Vegas? Is that what's going to?
I'm pretty sure, man. They don't want to be there. They're trotting out a 4A team, and then
they're
like,
they're not going to have any teams in Oakland. Period.
Nope, all gone.
Wow.
Sad. Okay. It's very sad.
Yeah, and with the 49ers playing Santa Clara, like, oh, whatever. That's a discussion now for this NBC sports outlet. over here. But all right, Akeem Hicks. I got to get to the Ogunjobi thing with Justin Jones. Yep. Your feelings on perhaps the level as far as where would you have put Ogunjobi compared to Justin Jones in the free agency hierarchy, and how much was it of a letdown, I guess, to where the Bears were with Ogunjobi being a player on the come up with the numbers that he had as a three technique, for settling for Justin Jones, who clearly wasn't their number one when they were entering free agency?
I thought it was a huge blow. I think Ogunjobi is, when healthy, he is a hell of a football player. He's a good three technique. And Justin Jones isn't bad. He's just kind of meh. Like, he's okay. Like, he's a guy, like, he's a rotational guy, right? He's a guy you just sub him in sometimes on third down and give someone a blow. Ogunjobi's the guy you're going to trot out there for, you know, whatever, 35 snaps a game, because he's a game wrecker. So I think the Bears, they just don't have a game wrecker now. The defensive line, I mean, other than Robert Quinn, who's, you know, outside linebacker, edge rusher is like, meh. Like, yeah. I don't really know how they're going to get any pressure, which is going to be a huge issue.
Especially in this defense. And the reason bringing it up, and you're talking about having a game wrecker, what would your thoughts be on the chances, and should the Bears re-sign Akeem Hicks to bump him inside from the five technique, perhaps to the three technique?
I mean, I think the Bears should take, if it's on the table, if Akeem Hicks would want to do it, they should do it, just because at this point in the offseason, you really need to fill some of the holes that you still have. And if he's willing to come back on a one-year deal, you have to fill the hole, right? You can't not have another three technique. It's just like, if you look at the defensive line right now in the depth chart, it's not a pretty sight. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like it's, you know, probably going to get bullied in the run game. Are they going to get any pressure up the middle in a division that has Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins? It's a tough side. I don't know if Akeem Hicks would be interested in it. He's 32. He probably wants to play for a winner, right? Like, not going to take a one-year deal to be on a team that's going to be 6-11, and that's not going to be fun. So I don't think he probably will be interested, but if he is, the Bears should definitely absolutely call his number and get that done, because they need some help.
And piggybacking what you're saying, also on a team that's not looking as a contender, and not switching positions, but switching what his role is as far as being from a 3-4-5 technique to a guy that's going to be in the interior of the line. If you're trying to get a deal, you know, now maybe you can't get a deal and you have to do something like that. But if you want to get a deal, you may want to do it to where you found yourself as that five technique rather than moving necessarily inside on the line.
Yeah, I think any deal to switch techniques is probably going to be for a winner, right? For a team that's like, hey, we need you to buy in and just do this. Okay, yeah, sure, we're going to win a Super Bowl. It's not going to be like, hey, please buy in and do this while we go 6-11, and it's not a lot of fun.
Exactly. All right, so Velus Jones turns 25. I definitely pride anybody joining the show. I was making a joke with Josh about him getting his AARP card. Velus, I'm not taking a shot. I think at this point in your career, it's a plus that you're 25 years old.
Yeah.
It's more of you getting your third contract as perhaps being, I want you to get all your money, bro. But I don't think it's a hindrance at all, him turning 25. But your thoughts on Velus Jones being our key new addition at receiver at 25 years of age, when most of these players come in at around 21.
Yeah, I don't think age is an issue now, right, for him. I think it's, especially the way the NFL is changing, teams are more interested in getting a good rookie contract out of a wide receiver and then letting him walk and just drafting another one, right? Because these guys are so good coming out now. Whereas before, it used to be like, you never would get this kind of production out of receivers on the rookie unless they're Randy Moss. It was almost like, we're going to draft a rookie receiver, and he's not going to do anything in year one, and we'll see him in year two. And now it's like, with 7-on-7 football and the passing leagues, I mean, these guys are insane. You saw it with the Titans, right? They just trade AJ Brown, draft Treylon Burks, AJ Brown clone. Cool. We'll reset the clock and go again. So I don't think Velus being 25 really matters to the Bears, because if he's who they think he is and he's really good, they get him cheap on a 4-year deal, and then they can let him walk and do it again if they want to.
Right.
So I think it just depends how they use him, and if he can be like an actual slot receiver and not a gadget guy. Cause if he's just a gadget guy, then that's a loss.
Got you. All right. Last question. As far as pertaining to the Bears, I may get in some of your business after this. strongest position group and the weakest position group. I'll give you mines first, and you tell me how you feel about mines.
Yep.
I think one, you can definitely say perhaps the running back room is the strongest group. But you know what I would say, and this is without seeing these players on the field.
I believe you're going to steal mine.
I believe after the draft, the DBs are the strongest position group. And that was glaringly really in a way. You could say offensive line, but they had bodies on the offensive line compared to the DBs didn't have bodies. Like, you have more premium bodies when you're looking at Brisker and you're looking at Gordon now that you're adding to it. So your thoughts on, and you listen, you're more, you're the insider, but your thoughts on the strong, let me say my weakest, my weakest group, I would probably say it would have, well, we all know it's the receivers room. So that's not even, I shouldn't even have said that. But go ahead, Josh, what's your strongest and weakest, and basically clarify way better than I can clarify with it.
Yeah. I mean, strongest, I agree with you. I think it's if Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker are who Ryan Poles believes they are. And I mean, he just went by his board, right? Those are the top two guys on his board when they went on the clock. Those guys are going to start day one in that secondary with Jalen Johnson and Eddie Jackson is set. It's done. It's young, it's really good. And that room was a weakness last year. I mean, I just watched from afar and I could tell you it was not very good. And now all of a sudden, Kyler Gordon's a first round talent. They got in the second round. Jaquan Brisker can play up in the box. And that means Eddie can play back and kind of do more of what he wants to do and kind of have a reset year. So I think the DBs are definitely the best group, running back second. And the worst to me, I'm not going to dog on the receivers anymore, man. It's getting so tired, man. I feel so bad for Equanimeous St. Brown and Byron Pringle. Like, they're just going about their business and they're just getting bludgeoned every day. So I'm going to go with the O-line. I think the O-line has, I mean, there's an absolute, you talk about the Vikings not having any guards. The Bears went and signed their backup guard who didn't even play. Right. And he might start. That's not good.
You're totally right.
He couldn't even get on the field last year for the Vikings, and now he's like, oh, he might start for the Bears. That's horrible news. That's horrible. So I'm going to go with the offensive line because, I mean, Tevin Jenkins had trouble staying on the field. Larry Borum was okay. I mean, I like Lucas Patrick. He's good. Cody Whitehair is okay. Like, two of the five are okay. That's not where you want to be.
You're totally right. Especially with a young quarterback who is now transitioning to a new offense. It's definitely not where you want.
Third playbook in 3 years for Justin Fields, and he doesn't have an offensive line in front of him. And I mean, if Luke Getsy's not moving him out of the pocket and we're not using Justin's leg, it's going to be a long year for Justin.
At some point, if the offensive line is bad, Poles and Cunningham should get their asses out there. I'm joking. But anyway.
but maybe.
But listen. So now our new Bears insider, how long have you been here in Chicago now since you returned to the city? You know that both of your parents or just one of your parents are from here?
Just my mom.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's from Wyoming. Only a couple weeks.
Yeah. So how has it been now, a couple weeks back in the city with one of the nicer weekends that we have?
Yeah, man.
How has it been for a young Josh Rock?
It was nice, man. You guys said it was cold. It was 90. It was 90 last week. It was not cold. I was sweating. It was not cold at all. But no, I mean, I know the winters are brutal, but I mean, it's beautiful. May is beautiful. So let's keep it going. I'm excited for 4 or 5 more months of this.
Listen, the vibes are plus, and I'm not saying that because you're on here with me. You just got a taste, everybody, of our new Bears insider. Definitely, I think we're going to have a good time with Josh Rock. I'm not talking about an undersend. I'm talking about here at NBC. Josh, always, man, keep it up. Appreciate you, everybody. Make sure you follow Josh at Schrock_and_all. Definitely make sure you check out his articles on our My Teams app. You see what he's bringing. It's not BS. He knows what he's talking about. I mean, we didn't have BS before with Hogue, and always shout out to Hogue. You know what I'm saying? But we love Hogue with the strength. We're continuing off the strength as our Bears insider and not a weakness from Hogue moving with Josh right now. So, Josh, definitely appreciate you and I look forward to talking to you next week. If you don't, also, just so you know, because I don't know if we've expressed this, you don't have to make every episode of Under Center, all right? Just so you know, let me put that on here. Not in our text, like, so don't feel obligated You know what I'm saying? But I may need you.
Hey, like I said, this is the fun part of the job. I don't mind talking ball.
Okay. I should hit with the pause, but that we shouldn't do that on the NBC Sports Company. Anyway, so that's it for the Under Center podcast. Rate, follow, review. And of course, you've seen from how we did all the betting this week. If you're going to bet, please use PointsBet.